Chapter 5. Then the king, completely inflexible, was filled with overpowering anger and wrath. So he summoned Hermann, keeper of the elephants, and ordered him on the following day to drug all the elephants, 500 in number, with large handfuls of frankincense and plenty of unmixed wine, and to drive them in, maddened by the lavish abundance of drink, so that the Judeans might meet their doom. When he had given these orders, he returned to his feasting, together with those of his friends and of the army, who were especially hostile toward the Judeans. And Hermann, keeper of the elephants, proceeded faithfully to carry out the orders. The servants in charge of them went out in the evening and bound the hands of the wretched people and arranged for their continued custody through the night, convinced that the whole Judean nation would experience its final destruction. For to the other nations, it appeared that the Judeans were left without any aid, because in their bonds, they were forcibly confined on every side. But with tears, in a voice hard to silence, they all called upon the Almighty Lord and Ruler of all power, their merciful God and Father, praying that he avert with vengeance the evil plot against them, and in a glorious manifestation rescue them from the fate now prepared for them. So their entreaty ascended fervently to heaven. Hermann, however, when he had drugged the pitiless elephants until they had been filled with a great abundance of wine and satiated with frankincense, presented himself at the courtyard early in the morning to report to the king about these preparations. But the Lord sent upon the king a portion of sleep, that beneficence that from the beginning, night and day, is bestowed by him who grants it to whomever he wishes. And by the action of the Lord, he was overcome by a sleep so pleasant and deep that he quite failed in his lawless purpose and was completely frustrated in his inflexible plan. Then the Judeans, since they had escaped the appointed hour, praise their holy God, and again implored him who is easily reconciled to show the might of his all-powerful hand to the arrogant nations. But now, since it was nearly the middle of the 10th hour, the person who was in charge of the invitations, seeing that the guests were assembled, approached the king and nudged him. And when he had, with difficulty, roused him, he pointed out that the hour of the banquet was already slipping by, and he gave him an account of the situation. The king, after considering this, returned to his drinking and ordered those present for the banquet to recline opposite him. When this was done, he urged them to give themselves over to revelry and to make the present portion of the banquet joyful by celebrating all the more. After the party had been going on for some time, the king summoned Hermann, and with sharp threats, demanded to know why the Judeans had been allowed to remain alive through the present day. But when he, with the corroboration of his friends, pointed out that while it was still night, he had completely carried out the order given to him, the king, possessed by a savagery worse than that of Phalaris, said that the Judeans were benefited by today's sleep.
But,
he added,
tomorrow, without delay, prepare the elephants in the same way for the destruction of the lawless Judeans.
When the king had spoken, all those present, readily and joyfully with one accord, gave their approval, and all went to their homes. But they did not so much employ the duration of the night in sleep, as in devising all sorts of insults for those they thought to be doomed. Then, as soon as the cock had crowed in the early morning, Hermann, having equipped the animals, began to move them along in the great colonnade. The crowds of the city had been assembled for this most pitiful spectacle, and they were eagerly waiting for daybreak. But the Judeans, at their last gasp, since the time had run out, stretched their hands toward heaven, and with most tearful supplication and mournful dirges, implored the greatest God to help them again at once. The rays of the sun were not yet shed abroad, and while the king was receiving his friends, Hermann arrived and invited him to come out, indicating that what the king desired was ready for action. But the king had been completely overcome by incomprehension, so that when the king received the report and was struck by the unusual invitation to come out, he inquired what the reason was that this had been so zealously completed for him. This was the act of God, who rules over all things, for he had implanted in the king's mind a forgetfulness of the things that he had previously devised. Then Hermann and all the friends pointed out that the animals and the armed forces were ready.
O king, according to your eager purpose.
But at these words, he was filled with an overpowering wrath, because by the providence of God, his whole mind had been deranged concerning these matters. And with a threatening look, he said,
"If your parents or children were present, I would have prepared them to be a rich feast for the savage animals instead of the Judeans, who give me no ground for complaint and have exhibited to an extraordinary degree a full and firm loyalty to my ancestors. In fact, you would have been deprived of life instead of these. If it were not for an affection arising from our nurture in common and your usefulness."
So Hermann suffered an unexpected and dangerous threat. And his eyes wavered and his face fell. One by one, the king's friends sullenly slipped away and dismissed the assembled people to their own occupations. Then the Judeans, on hearing what the king had said, praised the manifest Lord God, King of Kings, since this also was his aid that they had received. The king, however, reconvened the party in the same manner and urged the guests to return to their celebrating. After summoning Hermann, he said in a threatening tone,
"How many times, you poor wretch, must I give you orders about these things? Equip the elephants now, once more, for the destruction of the Judeans tomorrow!"
But the officials who were at table with him, wondering at his instability of mind, remonstrated as follows,
"O king, how long will you put us to the test, as though we are idiots, ordering now for a third time that they be destroyed, and again revoking your decree in the matter? As a result, the city is in tumult because of its expectation. It is crowded with masses of people and also in constant danger of being plundered."
At this, the king, a Phalaris in everything and filled with madness, took no account of the changes of mind that had come about with him for the protection of the Judeans. And he firmly swore an irrevocable oath that he would send them to the netherworld without delay, mangled by the knees and feet of the animals, and would also march against Judah and rapidly level it to the ground with fire and spear, and by burning to the ground the temple inaccessible to him, would quickly render it forever empty of those who offered sacrifices there. Then the friends and officers departed with great joy, and they confidently posted the armed forces at the places in the city most favorable for keeping guard. Now when the animals had been brought virtually to a state of madness, so to speak, by the very fragrant drafts of wine mixed with frankincense, and had been equipped with frightful devices, the elephant keeper entered at about dawn into the courtyard. The city, now being filled with countless masses of people, crowding their way into the hippodrome, and urged the king on to the matter at hand. So he, when he had filled his impious mind with a deep rage, rushed out in full force along with the animals, wishing to witness, with invulnerable heart and with his own eyes, the grievous and pitiful destruction of the aforementioned people. When the Judeans saw the dust raised by the elephants going out at the gate, and by the following armed forces, as well as by the trampling of the crowd, and heard the loud and tumultuous noise, they thought that this was their last moment of life, the end of their most miserable suspense. And giving way to lamentation and groans, they kissed each other, embracing relatives and falling upon their necks. Parents and children, mothers and daughters, and others with babies at their breasts who were drawing their last milk. Not only this, but when they considered the help that they had received before from heaven, they prostrated themselves with one accord on the ground, removing the babies from their breasts, and cried out in a very loud voice, imploring the ruler over every power to manifest himself and be merciful to them, as they stood now at the gates of the netherworld.